You're listening to Heartland on Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell, and I'm joined by Kyle Isham. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Rachel.
We're sitting in my attic.
This is so special to be here. It's a very beautiful, cozy attic, very magical.
Thank you. We're out of studio. We've had an interesting day.
Today's episode, we're focusing on tarot and various rituals that invoke the four elements and how, by doing that, it helps ground us in our everyday life. Today was my first ever recorded tarot reading. It was really special.
And that's coming right up. And then we also spoke with a Springfield woman who went off to the desert to study metaphysical things.
And we're lucky to have her. Her name is Terry Friesmeyer.
And we'll be getting an audio tour of the different instruments that she uses for her practice, which is also her profession. But now we're going to go to the tarot reading. My friend Jenny, she was nice enough to open up on air and have Kyle read her cards. And just to get to know a little bit more about Jenny's background, here is a little bit of the conversation we had, just kind of setting the context of what tarot has meant to her thus far in her life.
I grew up going to a United Methodist church, so I went there every Sunday my whole life until I was about 14 or 15, which is when I decided to leave the church. Wasn't feeling it. Wasn't feeling like that was my thing. So I left, and I, at that point, kind of started exploring other religions, reading about Buddhism and paganism.
And how does tarot play into that?
Well, it started off just being kind of like a fun thing to mess around with my friends, kind of mostly where I am with that, which is why I'm pretty interested in actually having a real professional reading.
And so you'll get an idea as Kyle goes of what a tarot reading is like for those who have no idea. And we're just gonna jump right in. Here it is.
I feel like I would like greater clarity on my mental health. I've had a lot of anxiety issues that I haven't addressed or kind of have been pushing aside.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's affected me a lot in the past few years. I do also have undiagnosed, but what I'm pretty sure is a mild case of OCD.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays into that too.
So we'll focus on steps you can take to help release anxiety and the need to control.
Okay.
So I just shuffled the deck. Okay, and so next I'm just going to turn all three of the cards that you drew over so we can have a look at them. When you started talking about anxiety, oftentimes this card will show up. It's the Nine of Swords. And it shows a figure with their hands over their face and kind of waking up out of a bed scene. And it has that element of like being pulled out of restless sleep. And there can be positive sides to this because it's a nine. And so in tarot, it goes from the ace to the 10 in each of the four elements. And whenever it's getting to the nine and 10, there's a natural kind of completion happening.
Okay.
But there is still also work to be done. Going with this card in the center, I think anytime there's anxiety present, there's a sense of really trying to find something that isn't there. I think that's the essence of anxiety, trying to grasp something that you just can't quite ever catch a hold of.
Right.
And in the traditional deck, this figure in the Three of Rods or Wands is looking out and there's water and there's a ship coming in. And I think it's really fitting to what you've talked about because there kind of is this sense of looking out towards something that isn't there, that mm-hmm. isn't present. And then that in itself can create a natural sense of anxiety and a sense of unease about life. The card next to it is then the Five of Rods, which is what this creator calls it, but it's the Wands, which is the fire element. And in this card, there's a sense of tension and combat and conflict. And often when this card comes up, I see it as something that is happening internally, that there's elements inside of oneself that are not quite in balance yet. They still haven't found a way to harmonize. There's a sense of something not being quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being able to get to the root of that, then that OCD part just wants to add control as
right.
a way of managing that emotional discomfort.
Exactly.
Definitely with fire and air, there's a great reluctance to feel emotion.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what is kind of the engine of what is driving this complex in your life right now. An emotion being present that isn't welcomed and isn't allowed to exist as it is. So much of the anxiety in our contemporary society, it has its root in that very origin, that there's some original emotion that actually has really healthy expressions mm-hmm. and has a great purpose in one's life, but then it gets blocked and shoved under the rug and kind of just thrown into the basement of our lives. Mm-hmm. Because as a culture, we aren't really taught how to just be with uncomfortable emotions. There's always a sense of like, I can't really let myself feel this.
Right.
Having this card show up, there is a sense of wanting to work through this. Mm-hmm. The opportunity is there to find a way to get out of that pattern. Because in this image, this figure is waking up out of something. So I think the key for you would be to just find ways to allow yourself to feel more and to have space for that in your life. And you just get caught doing all of these actions as a way of kind of managing mm-hmm. that discomfort.
Yeah, I definitely catch myself doing that with compulsive behavior, mine being like, I will clean or organize something to not mm-hmm. have to think about something else, mm-hmm. you know? So that's kind of how I've been dealing with things.
I think exercise is so helpful. We all need some kind of physical activity. It can even be something like walking, mm-hmm. taking bike rides. It doesn't have to be going to the gym or lifting weights. It just needs to be some kind of movement that then allows the mind to settle and be still.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've been struggling to try to do more. I live fairly close to where I work, and last year there were a good couple of months where almost every day I would walk to work. Mm. I could tell it both physically and emotionally. It was helping me a lot. It was helping me feel better. And I think I've been struggling this year to do the same things like that I had done in the past, and I've been just kind of beating myself up over it.
Yeah, and that's the thing to remember, is it's not going to be easy at first. Mm-hmm. Whenever we try to change a pattern, it's going to be really hard.
Right, yeah.
And I think there's so much, too, in our culture of like, well, if you're not feeling it, then it's all right to not do it.
Right.
But that's the opposite. Like, you're not going to want to do these things. Exactly. And that's why you have to really push yourself. You know, be very gentle, be loving, be supportive, don't be critical of yourself.
Yeah, and I definitely struggle with being critical of myself, so. And I know that I am, you know, at least recognize it. I think I just need some guidance, and that's kind of what I'm, part of the reason I really wanted to do this.
Do you find that's like kind of your role, Kyle, is like reaffirming people's inner voice that maybe they're ignoring a lot of the time?
Yeah, because for me, tarot is something that is happening on the unconscious level of one's being. These cards, even though there's 78 of them, there's some part in the soul that attracts the images that are necessary for that moment. And so it is just helping to bridge a dialogue and to just help them see things that they do already know and then find ways to actually act on it. Because we could spend years knowing something, but that doesn't mean our life will change in any positive way.
Mm-hmm. How important is it that the person draws specific cards, or do you find that that's arbitrary?
These cards, they have a very telling story, but we could also probably do another reading in 20 minutes and there would still be something else. I think because it is a symbol, it works on so many different levels. And I think that's something we miss in our culture, what an actual symbol is. Everything is so concrete in our world. But a symbol, it has so many layers of meaning that even if we pulled some different cards, there would still be something that would be useful for the person viewing it. And there's still a story there that can come up out of it.
You're listening to Heartland, and that was a tarot reading between Kyle.
Yes, and your friend Jenny.
Yeah, and so as you can tell, Kyle, you have quite a depth of knowledge about tarot, and it's something that you use on a regular, consistent basis. Why is it something that has become such a part of your life?
For me, it's all about the symbolic language that it presents. Similar to our dreams, every night we have these images that arise before our mind, and we have a chance to learn something from them. And What I like about symbols is that they don't have hard and fast and concrete meanings. It's something more fluid and moving and closer to the very spirit of life that then we have to engage with. We aren't going to just get ready-made cookie-cut answers. It actually invokes a process and a journey. And I think that that adventure is something which then really enriches our life.
And so now we're going to move on to a conversation with a woman who uses tarot, among many other things, for her professional practice as well as just for her personal life. She uses crystals, aromatherapy.
She also uses vibrational healing.
Sound healing, which we're going to actually go ahead and give you a bit of an audio tour. She was nice enough to let us into her home, which is also where her practice comes out of. Terry grew up in Morgan County, and she says that while her family kind of dabbled in Christianity, it was never a huge part of her life. And then she went on to be a masseuse after being a hairstylist, and from there followed her intuition all the way to Arizona and Texas. And out there, she studied at the Institute for the Healing Arts in Tempe, Arizona, as well as the Metaphysical School of Texas, which was in Houston, and decided to come back to Central Illinois, where she told us she was happily surprised to find a community as well as people to help support her work.
So next we will hear an audio tour of her healing space, and she will bring out some of the various instruments that she uses in her practice.
Well, I have the chimes on the door. I love these wind chimes. And so as people enter and leave, they make a nice little sound, and that always just really speaks. So they're soothing, and it kind of moves energy, too. So as you're coming in, you know, kind of sweeps off the day, and as you're leaving, it just kind of, you know, lets a little twinkle, like, lighten your step, and it's just, they're really just mesmerizing. You know, instruments would come to me, and I'd start playing with them. And so I used to take the rain stick and just kind of work that up the chakras of my clients. And you can actually hear, like I could hear when it would flow freely and when it would just fizzle. Didgeridoo. I have three now. I went to a musical festival, and they were teaching it like as music, and I could never play it. But a guy came through here from Australia, and he taught it as a meditative device. It was a completely different experience coming from a space of meditation. As you can see, I'm a collector of tools and toys. Just really knowing that it's my intuition that kind of guides me to it.
You're listening to Heartland with me, Rachel Otwell, and
Kyle Eichel.
We just got done with an audio tour of Terry Friesmeyer's workspace and some of the various equipment that she uses for her own spiritual practice. And we sat down with Terry to get a little bit more of her background. She talked to us about how in this day and age, people who call themselves witches are more commonplace or accepted. She joked about being into crystals before they were cool. So here's a little bit more about her background.
I don't classify myself. To me, it's all the same. It's like whether it's Wiccan or pagan or Christian or Catholic, to me, that's all the same. And I've never felt a certain draw to any particular thing. I like exploring and learning about a lot of different things. When I first started on this path, it was very odd. And people would, like I said, they would look at me and go, oh my God, how did you know that? And I had been called witch before many, many times. And it felt very, very ostracizing. And so I wanted to hide. But as a kid, I had this sense. And somewhere along the line, I stopped that. I blocked that. It wasn't, didn't feel safe. And so I became a hairstylist. And through that, I became a massage therapist. And the massage led me to understanding this gift and this pathway, and it's not just my gift, it's everyone's gift. We just have it, this we explore it different ways. So it was really odd. I was doing things, you know, in my spa room, sound healing people and smudging people and putting crystals on them before crystals were cool. And but people would come back, and so that just compelled my heart to say, okay, I need to understand this more, because I was just doing it in this place I was just drawn to. I couldn't no longer not do it. And so when I moved to Arizona, where I thought, my thought was, out there, this, everybody's open to this. Well, there's a lot of spiritual practices out there, but they're not any more or less open. They're just finding your niche. And I thought here people were not open to it. What I found was I don't advertise. I work really by referral and word of mouth. The universe has supported that. People find me.
We also talked to Terry about ritual, and in this part of the conversation, she gave us a specific example of a ritual that she was about to do with some friends. She talked about how rituals can be something as simple as moving around your furniture.
Anything that helps kind of move energy and then get a sense of newness, renewal, and rejuvenation into one's life. Doing something concrete as a sort of metaphor of then what you want to actualize in your life.
I like to bring in the elements. So whether it's outside, like tonight we're doing a ritual outside in some different locations across Springfield. We have some milk that represents nurturing. We have some water of the worlds. We have some shells. We have sage that we're going to burn. So each of the elements represent something. If I need that grounding element, I might call upon something or go sit by a tree. I might touch my crystals or stones, you know, for the real grounding element. Lay on the ground like in a Savasana pose. If I need some change, I need some fire, I need some passion ignited, I need to get rid of something that's no longer served me, I might write it on a paper and set it on fire. Dance ignites fire for me. That's all transformative.
So that was our conversation with Terry Friesmeyer. She has a host of titles, really. She's someone who calls herself intuitive, and she does various types of energy work with people. We're going to move on now and wrap up this episode. And before we go, I just wanted to mention a book that I'm currently reading that I think is a good resource for people who are interested when it comes to the history of the occult and witches, in particular paganism. It's called Drawing Down the Moon, and it's written by Margot Adler, so that name will be familiar to people who have long been listening to public radio. She, unfortunately, is now deceased. She was a national public radio reporter herself, very into the things we've been talking about. The subtitle for the book is Witches, Druids, Goddess Worshippers, and Other Pagans in America. It's known as just being a good kind of history of those, a good reference. The music you've been hearing, by the way, is from Warpaint.
Yes, we love Warpaint so much.
Their music has been described as dream pop, which I think ties into what we've been talking about.
Yeah, and there definitely is something sort of otherworldly and magical and yet still of the earth.
And one of their albums is titled The Fool, which is an archetype that's used in tarot, right, Kyle?
Correct.
So we're going to go out on some more of their music, and this has been Heartland. If you want to check out any of our other episodes, they're at illinoisedition.org. Just look for programs, look for Heartland. For Heartland, I'm Rachel Otwell.
And I'm Kyle Isham.
Thanks for listening.